This is Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. Earlier today, I've already said 2 weeks from today will be an election. We don't have a large ballot. Some of us who do not live in the 50th district actually have one issue on our ballot. I got my sample ballot from the county clerk just a couple of days ago. But if you live in the 50th legislative district, you have a chance to choose the replacement for Caleb Jones. On the Democratic side, it will be Michaela Skelton, and she's in the studio with me. It's nice to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me here today.
Now, Caleb Jones stepped away from the seat early to go on the governor's staff. You were planning on running for the seat anyway?
Yes, I had already been working and planning to run in 2018. And so having him leave early just kind of fast-forwarded our plans.
How did that impact it? Was it a tough thing to adjust to? Because basically you had to move up everything about a year.
It was a bit of a challenge. But thankfully, I have a great group of supporters here in town and a great group of friends that are really talented that really helped me get prepared and ready to go within a couple of weeks.
I like to ask this of candidates, and so it's one of my standard questions for anybody who decides to run for an office. What energizes you about politics?
Well, I have always been a political watcher. My dad has always been very involved in watching politics. I mean, I remember watching debates between President Clinton and former President Bush the first in the 90s as a kid. And so I've always watched and wanted to be involved, but usually in the background. And so I took a job with the Missouri Senate after graduating from law school in the nonpartisan research office because I just wanted to be a background staff person helping to make sure that the system works the way that it's supposed to. And my experience there pushed me into running for office because I saw that our system is broken. The way that it currently works with big money in politics, where you see the only interests that are ever getting passed and that are getting movement or getting talked about are the ones that are hand-delivered to our senators and to the staff people by corporate lobbyists. And I couldn't stay and I couldn't support that system the way that it is, which is why I'm running now and not taking corporate money for my campaign.
How much of the problem that you saw as a researcher is due to term limits?
That is actually also part of the problem because we lost a lot of institutional knowledge from our longstanding senators and state representatives. So instead, when folks come in, you know, it's part of the great thing about the Missouri legislature is that it's a citizen legislature. So we have farmers and pharmacists and veterinarians, doctors, teachers, social workers. Everyone can run to be a state representative or a state senator. So you bring all of those personal experiences and that specific background. But at the same time, you don't know how to write law or how it works. And so instead of having those long-serving senators or state representatives to be the teachers and to be the guides for those new folks coming in, it's the lobbyists that are there year in and year out. They don't have term limits. And so you end up finding people that may come in with good intentions, but they end up easily manipulated because that's where the institutional knowledge is.
Michaela Skelton is our guest, Democratic candidate for the 50th legislative seat. I've read stories, I've seen some of the things that you have done in other forums, and there is one story you tell about doing research on a bill or legislation that was geared at one particular business, and it was no secret to those who were doing what you were doing, but you couldn't say anything about that. I found that to be a troubling story because I think you said you were unable to stand up at the right time and say you're lying when it got to a discussion of legislators. I understand the way that you have to keep that confidential, but I don't know how the message gets out to the general public about how much power special concerns and special interests wield in Jefferson City. How do you, if you were elected, what would be the way that they would freeze out your voice or attempt to, and how would you be able to unfreeze it?
Well, so one of the things that I would really like to see our state legislature or at citizen referendums, if that's the way that we have to go, is strengthening our sunshine laws, requiring that we have visitor logs for our state representatives and our state senators so we know which lobbyists are coming to visit and how long they're staying, and also removing the exemption from the state legislature from sunshine laws. You're not allowed to sunshine emails from our state legislature. You're not allowed to sunshine the public hearings. You can't record public hearing. So they can actually tell you to leave the room if you're trying to record a public hearing in the state legislature.
So that would be something that would be, I would put that in the general category of ethics reform.
Yes.
And that has been a tough thing for anything to come of that. I mean, there has been legislation, I guess, 2 years ago. I'm not quite sure if anything with ethics reform really survived this past legislative session. Did I miss something? I mean, nothing major came of that. 2 years ago was when they passed saying that if you're an elected official, you have to sit out 6 months or whatever the short time period was before you became a paid lobbyist.
Right. And that 6 month period really doesn't do anything at all, because you could finish out your session in May and then resign. And so by the time the next legislative session starts, your 6 month period would be over. And so you really wouldn't have missed any time at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is because there is no appetite for real ethics reform in leadership in the state Senate and in the state House. I saw several times that those ethics reform bills died in the Senate on faulty reasoning that passing ethics reform won't actually stop bad behavior. And while that might be true, it gives you room to punish bad behavior if it's still found. But that's the constant argument that was brought up onto the floor to kill ethics reform in the Missouri Senate,
mm-hmm.
Which is why I personally have signed and I support the Clean Initiative petition, which is a citizen referendum to try to do some of those ethics reform issues through citizens' vote. I mean, we had that strong campaign finance vote in November, where it was more than 70% of the citizens of Missouri wanted that campaign finance reform. It's very clear that the citizens of our state want to see our legislature behave better.
But immediately after that was passed, there were attacks on that, saying that, you know, they didn't know what they voted, or this is not going to be a true way of restricting, or if it is, then it defeats the free speech effort of whoever wants to argue free speech, be it a corporation or a large donor. So you have that voice that is expressed by a huge percentage of voters, but it goes back to what you were talking about in Jefferson City. You immediately have people who would say, we got to get rid of this.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, it's why we need to have the Clean Initiative petition is actually a constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So it would change the Missouri Constitution instead of just law, so that it can't be changed back by the legislature.
You know that, especially if you're a student of politics and you explain very well about your interest in politics and when it started, it's interesting that you can say a message that resonates with people, but they can't get past, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying other people. How do you respond to the fact that your message may be one that actually hits squarely on a concern of a good portion of the people, but they can't get past the label of party?
And so that is something that I've definitely been fighting against as I've been out in the district. And I think it's partly because both national parties are fundamentally broken. And being able to say that to people and admit, I agree, the Democratic Party is broken and there's so much more we could be doing better. But I'm running as a Democrat because I feel there's more room for growth to get better in the Democratic Party. And it's really showing those folks that I am a real person and not just a label, which is why I've been spending so much time out in the district doing community office hours at tiny diners in small towns all across the district, having public forum events where not only do I get to say my piece, but then people can ask me questions, whatever they want when I'm out. And that really helps to cut down some of that barrier.
What's it mean to be a Democrat?
To me, to be a Democrat means someone who is really searching for the best way to lift up everyone together, and to not restrict the personal life choices that people make for themselves. And so your personal life is your personal life, and we should all be helping one another.
That sounds libertarian, which sometimes libertarian would be more conservative, or at least if it had to identify with a party in some people's minds.
Yeah, well, and I think the difference is economics with the libertarian and Democrat. I actually grew up in a Republican household, and for a brief period in college, I claimed the label of libertarian because I was in a place of searching for what's the best way to move forward. And I think there's so much more that we can offer in protecting our citizens and our workers through government action and law from the interests of big corporations that would seek to dominate us as citizens and as people.
To adequately fund roads, to adequately fund education, to adequately fund others, perhaps social services for the neediest of our state, is it a revenue issue or a spending issue when it comes to having money to do those important things?
It's absolutely a revenue issue. And we've seen revenues go down quite a bit since 2008. First, it was part of the recession and the economic downturn. But after that, we put in place a lot of corporate income tax cuts and corporate restructuring that let them get out of franchise fees and allowed multi-state corporations to kind of pull more money out of Missouri. And so it's really a revenue problem, because if it was a spending problem, we wouldn't be seeing cuts to things like the Missouri MoRx, the Missouri Prescription Drug Assistance Program. I mean, because if that cutting 64,000 seniors who are living at or close to the poverty line for life-saving prescription drug benefits, if that is what is considered pork that needs to be cut, we're in really bad shape. And so we really need to be raising additional revenues to pay for those things that are a primary function of government. We can't function as a society without adequate infrastructure and without adequate public education.
When you say that answer to those in the district who are potential voters who really don't like taxes, but they like certain things that revenue supports, what's the response?
The response is it's not taxes on the people, it's not taxes on the workers. It's requiring our corporations who are active in our communities to pay their fair share. Those taxes were not a burden to them before the 2008 economic meltdown. And now that the economy has improved, the economy is healthier. If you look at the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ, which is generally considered a reflection of the health of business, our businesses are doing just fine. They're at record high profits. And so it's time that they start paying their fair share again to be part of our communities.
You know, many in the government, starting with the governor, would say, but we have to be business friendly in this state. And any taxes on corporations or others would make this a less business friendly state.
And so I think that's a false way of looking at it. There's not a business economy or a worker economy. There's either a good economy that supports good businesses and good workers, or there's a bad economy that supports bad actors, bad businesses who take advantage of our workers and our communities.
I'll give you a chance just at the end here. What would you say as a wrap up? What would you say to those who are going to be, I don't know whether you expect a low turnout or medium or a high turnout. My guess is that 2 weeks from today, it's going to be very valuable, each person that goes to the poll.
Absolutely. And so for me, and the thing that I think I offer the best to all of the people of the district, whether you call yourself a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or something else, is that I will always be there to listen. I will always have an open door. And you know that I will always be honest and straightforward with you. We might not agree on 100% of every issue, but who really does? Not even my husband and I agree 100% of the time. But at least you'll always know where I stand and know that I'll always be honest with you. And that's different. That's something that we don't have in Jeff City right now.
Thank you for coming in today. Good luck to you.
Thank you, David.
Michaela Skouten, who is the candidate on the Democratic side for the 50th District Legislative Seat. Vote 2 weeks from today.